you have your Bible this morning, find, if you would, please, the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 24 will be our text this morning once again, as it was last week. Last week, we entered into a section of the book of Matthew which is described and called and labeled as the Olivet Discourse. The Olivet Discourse is called this because of where this discourse was delivered. In the third verse you find of chapter 24, that Jesus is sitting upon the Mount of Olives. The discourse takes almost 100 verses, chapter 24 and chapter 25. We have found that this discourse was the response or the answer of the Lord Jesus to questions that his disciples had asked him. Matter of fact, when you look at verse number 3, you will find that the disciples had asked him 3 questions, and he'd asked all of these privately. It says, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? That question is a reference to verse number 2, when Jesus says unto them that there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. He's speaking of the great temple there that Herod had restructured and built. The disciples were magnified and awestruck by the monstrosity and beauty of the temple, and they had a perspective about that that they wanted to show the Lord Jesus. You find in verse number 2 that the Lord Jesus' perspective was very different than the disciples. I find many times that God's perspective is different than mine. That's why we need the Bible. Amen. They ask him a second question. Verse number 3, and what shall be the sign of thy coming? Now, this question goes back to verse number 39 of chapter 23. This is when the Lord Jesus makes his final rejection of the nation. The reason he rejects them is they have rejected him. He recognizes their rejection, and he makes a statement, for I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. By that verse, you need to write the words nation of Israel, Jews. That is who he is speaking to. He's not speaking to the church. He's speaking to the Jews. Now remember, he'd already come one time saying, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That would be chapter 21 as Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But there will be another time that he will make a triumphal entry into that great city. And that will be at that time when he sets up the kingdom of God, that period of time which we know to be the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus. Back to verse number 3 of chapter 24, here's the third question. And the third question is, and what shall be the sign, or when shall be the end of the world? Now, that word world is the word age. He's not talking about the physical world that's going to explode like you would see in some sci-fi picture. And by the way, could I just make sure that I'm with biblically minded people this morning? Television is not real. You understand that, right? Reality television is not reality. I watch a lot of fishing shows. Monday is my day off. We have on our television something called the World Fishing Network. And so I spend a lot of time on Monday just sitting there watching the World Fishing Network. By the end of the day, I'm ready to go on some exotic fishing trip to some river in some country, or go down to Bass Pro Shop and just walk around, man, because I'm juiced up after watching the World Fishing Network. And I grew up watching people like Roland Martin and Jimmy Houston and some of these guys, Bill Dance, and all these big fishing shows. And then I met a man named Joey Callahan. And Joey rubbed shoulders with some of these guys. And as a kid, man, I used to think that these guys were the best fishermen in the world. And they always caught fish. I have learned from Brother Callahan that sometimes they catch those fish way earlier than that show. And somebody's under there hooking on those fish. And so when they set up on those fish, it's not exactly as it portrayed. Now, every fishing show I watch, I'm thinking, you liar. Somebody went down there and hooked that sucker up for you. It's not reality TV. It's not real. So sometimes you get these sci-fi images of the world blowing up and all of that. That's not what he's talking about here. The word is the word age. Okay, now age is so important because it deals with a word called dispensations in the Bible. This question, and you should write somewhere by this verse in that question, the end of the world. Pastor, where did they get this from? In Matthew chapter 13, verses 39 and 49, Jesus uses the phrase, the end of the world. And if Jesus is going to use the phrase, the end of the world or the end of the age, it got their attention. So they did not just pull this question out of thin air. This was something that they had been thinking about and contemplating about. I say they, and I'm talking of the disciples. So the disciples ask him those three questions. When will these things be? When's this thing going to get torn down? What is the sign of thy coming? And when will be the end of the world? Now, all three of these questions were asked by Jewish men, and they were asked in concern in regard to the nation of Israel. Chapters 24 and chapters 25 is the Lord Jesus dealing with the nation of Israel. It's not the Lord Jesus primarily focused on the church or the age in which we live in, although there is some application here, some vital application that you need to know. So when they wanted to know what would be the end of the age, the Lord Jesus in verses 4 all the way down to verse number 14 walks them through the end of their age as the nation of Israel. And the end, and he walks them to the end, but you must understand what the beginning of that age is. The beginning of the age was their rejection as a nation. We don't want you, Lord. We'll take Caesar. We don't want you as our king. Give us Barabbas. We'll submit to Caesar. Crucify him. And in the calendar of the Jews, Jesus walks them through their age to the reception of Christ when he comes back for them. Now, the reception of Christ that they're talking about is what we call the second coming. We know from the Bible that the reception of the Jewish people as a nation in their humbling to the Lord will take place at the end of the tribulation, basically right at the end at the Battle of Armageddon. Okay? So do not misunderstand this. The Jewish nation will go through the tribulation. Okay. Not every Jew is going to go through the tribulation. If you're a Jew today and you get saved, you're brought into the church. Okay, so a saved Jew is part of the church of Jesus Christ. That's why there's no such thing as a messianic Jew. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as a messianic temple. Now, I know they're there, and I know people call themselves messianic Jews, and what they want to say is, I'm a Jew who believes in the Lord Jesus. Well, if you're a Jew who believes in the Lord Jesus, you are a saint, a Christian, and part of the church. So what happens now is the church mind gets all fascinated about the Jews and all their history, and so these messianic Jews are still trying to kind of fit within the boundaries of Judaism. My friend, Jesus Christ, when he sets you free, you're free indeed. Okay? So there's no such thing as a messianic Jew. I know they want to call themselves that, but that's not right. So Jesus is giving them a description as the Jews, not to you and me, from the beginning of sorrow to the end of the age, and therein goes all the way to the tribulation. If you looked in verses 4 through 8, you remember that he talked about wars and rumors of wars and all the things. He said the end is not yet. That's in verse number 6. We talked about that last week as people are trying to present to the church today to look for wars and rumors of wars and Ebola and all of this kind of stuff, the end of the world. Anytime you stand up and you hear somebody talking about the end of the world and they want to link the church to it, you know they do not have biblical understanding. Don't go out there and buy all those books. Buy you a Bible. The Bible is the best book you could ever own. Amen. All right. Verse number 7 and 8, he says, these are the beginning of sorrows. Verse number 9 begins with the word then, then, then. Then means something happens. Verse number 9, Jesus is telling them about what will happen in the tribulation period. He's telling them as a nation that not only are you going to see all these things, but there will come a time when the Jew will be delivered up and afflicted, the Jew will be killed, the Jew will be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Pastor, are we there now? No, we're not there now. But that verse will happen. Many will betray, they will hate one another, false prophets will take place, and it will be a horrific time on the earth for the Jew. We went, and you should have written by that verse, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 9. In order for verse number 9 to happen, something has to happen prior to that, and that is the rapture of the church. Now, if you are part of the church and you're going to be raptured, say amen. Okay, so we learn from 2 Thessalonians that the Antichrist can't even be revealed while the church is still on the earth. Now, I don't mean that he can't be alive, but he can't be revealed unto power, because Paul taught us that the Holy Spirit working through the church is the restrainer of evil. And when I was disappointed when they tore down the Orange Bowl. There was no better place in all the world to watch a football game than the Orange Bowl. Did you ever watch a game there? Nod your noggin if you watched a game. It was awesome. The parking was horrific, and the restrooms, you get a disease, but the game was great. I saw things in the men's restroom at the Orange Bowl that you wouldn't be surprised that a human would do. But I love that. And I remember they had the tunnel that the team would come out, and they set this helmet up, and they'd get all those players in there, and they'd play that song Hurricane, and they'd blow that smoke, and you would see that old helmet just rocking back and forth. And man, I couldn't wait for them to blow the whistle, and the team would come running out, and we would all scream, and then normally we lost by 20 or 30 points, and then it was the way it went. All right. Well, that's kind of what's happening now. The spirit of Antichrist is rocking this old world. And you can hear the music of his theme just turn on into pop culture. And you can sense the intensity. But until the Holy Spirit blows the whistle, that Antichrist is not coming out of that tunnel. And until the church is raptured, he cannot be revealed. Praise his holy name. Amen. All right. So, but after that happens, these things are going to take place. Now, when you got to verse number 15, you saw a word there called therefore. Now, one thing you need to know about this chapter is not only is he speaking to the Jews about their nation as the most important, but also it's not in chronological order. So Jesus now has given a description of the age from the beginning of sorrows to the end of the age. Now he goes back a little bit with the nation and says, now let me tell you what's going to happen. In verses 15, 16, and so on, he tells them about the unleashing of the Antichrist. He tells them about that which the nation will suffer. He says it will be horrific. It will be like nothing you've ever seen before. In verse 21, it says, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. He goes on in verse number 25 and number 26 to warn the nation of Israel during that time, that to be careful about believing the false rumors and the lies of where the Lord Jesus is. Verse 27, he says, for as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. You should write Zechariah chapter 9, verse number 14, right there. He goes on to tell them to be looking for where the carcass is. There will the eagles be gathered together. That's a reference to Revelation chapter 19, verses 17 to 19, speaking about the battle of Armageddon. All right. So what he's doing now is he's telling the Jew here, when you have your temple and you see that abomination of desolation, when you see that Antichrist come into that temple, and he declares himself to be God, whether he sets himself there or he sets the statue up and he gets rid of everything, as a nation, you better get out of Dodge. You probably don't even know what that means, but get out of Dodge. Okay? He said, don't go get your coat. Don't go back to your house. Run for the hills. And even then, there's not a promise that they would be spared there. All right, so they will know. Verse 29, fascinating verse. The Bible says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man, and it will appear where? Not on the earth, in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, speaking of the nation of Israel there, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And oh yeah, if I could add to that, they're going to see me coming too. How about you? Amen. Now they won't be looking for me, they'll be looking for Jesus, but I'll be there. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other, gathering together the Jew at that time. I don't know if you can envision that. It's kind of hard to envision that moment. So let me read you a passage of Scripture from somebody who's already seen what that will be like. John wrote the book of Revelation. Listen to what he wrote about this moment. He says here in verse number 12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. This is John watching the tribulation unfold before his eyes. And lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. I'm going to talk about these blood moons in just a moment. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Watch this. And the heaven departed as a scroll, it rolled up, when it was rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. So where are my Jamaicans? At that moment, that island is going to come up and it's going to be moved. And the mountains are going to be moved out of their places. By the way, most people believe, Bible scholars believe, that the mountains were formed a lot after the flood. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Let me tell you something. The horror of the tribulation will be like nothing we've ever seen. John saw it and he said nobody will survive it. And the wrath of God will be unleashed and unpoured. That's why I love 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 9, where it's speaking about you and me. It says we've not been we're not appointed under wrath, but we are to obtain salvation. Hallelujah. God's church will not go through God's tribulation. Amen. I was coming out of Sam's Club. The guy at the door, I'm showing him my tag. He says, you're the pastor. said, "Who are you?" He said, "What's it matter?" I said, "Okay, I'm the pastor. What do you think about Bruce Jenner?" All these people are in line to get their things, you know, their receipts checked, and he wants to carry on a conversation about Bruce Jenner. He says, "God's wrath is coming against this world for the Supreme Court." Now the people are like, "Hurry up, hurry up." I'm like, "Let me out of here, God, please." He said, "Do you believe God's going to unload his wrath?" I said, "No, I don't. Because there is an appointed time when God is going to unleash his wrath. Right now, we live in a day, in an age of grace, and thank God for his marvelous, wonderful grace. But it's coming." You come back to Matthew chapter 24, and you come to verse number 32, and Jesus now gives the Jews an instruction. Now, in here, I think there's some reference for us. Verse 32 begins with what word, class? Now. Now, learn a parable. We've heard this word before. Of the fig tree. Now, the fig tree is a tree that always represents the nation of Israel. When the fig tree, when his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. The Jew knew how to read the fig tree. They knew that when the leaves came, the summer was coming. They knew that a fig tree got its figs before the leaves showed up. So if you saw a fig tree with leaves, you knew that there would be fruit abounding there. Look at verse 33. "So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things," he's speaking to who? Jews, not you. "When ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you," and Bible scholars and Bible people have a hard time with this next statement, "this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." Bible scholars go back and forth. I think that just means those folks that will see the events, they will see the abomination of desolation, they will see what is happening there, that when once they see that, these things are going to be fulfilled. I love verse 35. Jesus makes an exclamation point here to what he's teaching. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my," say it class, "words shall not pass away." Now listen. That admonition is still true today. The Word of God is eternal. And you better understand that nothing will void the Word of God. Nothing. It's absolute truth. Okay? So, let me just be a little bit practical in the day in which we live in. Our leaders can take our nation. We can begin to make laws against the Word of God. And we can begin to live our lives like the Word of God doesn't exist. But I promise you, our leaders, our nation, our way of life, our very lives ourselves will pass away. But God's Word will never pass away. So, you can sit there and you can live a secret life, but God's Word will not pass away. You can sit there and be a fornicator or a drunkard or immoral or a thief or a liar, and you can think you're going to get away with it, but the Bible says God's Word will not pass away. The Bible says that God exalted his word above his name. So if you think for one moment somehow you're going to escape the truth, the authority, or the direction, or the eternality of the Word of God, my friend, you are grossly deceived. Amen? Powerful verse. Verse number 36. Jesus now is building. Now here he says, Okay, he's taken them through the age, the Jewish nation. You will go through the tribulation. You will. He takes them right up to the setting of the kingdom. He backed it up and said, now listen, where you really need to understand is when that abomination of desolation is set. You need to run for it because there's a time there of 3.5 years, and then there's going to be that ultimate day of the Lord and that great battle and that time where the great tribulation will take place as far as the sun and the moon and all of that. He says, when that begins to happen, look up, for you'll see the sign of the Son of Man in the clouds. And so he's talking to the Jewish people about that time. Now he goes back again and he builds another platform, verse number 36. But a conjunction here of, what are those next two words? That day and hour knoweth who? No man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father who? Okay, now here's what you need to understand. Don't miss this. Jesus says to the disciples, now you've asked me three questions. When will these things happen? What's the sign of my coming? I've told you it's in Zechariah. It'll be that as lightning cometh out of the east and the west, to the west, and so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. When shall the end be? When the gospel of the kingdom is preached in all the world, then shall be the end. Now let me back up and tell you, make sure you watch for the abomination of desolation. He's got them all set. Now, he says to these guys, but fellas, nobody knows when this is going to happen. Okay, now they wanted to know, Pastor, or Jesus, when is all this going to happen? And he gives them what's going to happen, but he didn't tell them the when. Now, I want to say a couple things here because the church has tremendous problems when the church gets out of balance. What I call out of balance is when we get so stuck on prophecy. If I bring a prophecy preacher in here, this place would be packed Monday to Friday. If I said I'm going to preach Tuesday, would you come? Maybe. You love me. But you wouldn't come for 6 weeks straight. But if I bring a prophecy preacher in here, the place is packed. People come from everywhere. A couple statements. You're out of balance if you're totally concentrated on prophecy. Okay. If you read this Bible, you will find that every time somebody asks Jesus about the when, he would tell them it's none of your business. At the ascension, when are the times and seasons? Not for you to know. Thessalonica says, Paul, when's it all going to happen? It's not for you to know. Now, here's what's going to happen, but the when is none of your business. But we've got churches today and people that want to make it their business to try to find out when everything is going to happen. Again, it's none of your business. It's God's business, and he can take care of his business. So Jesus is looking at the disciples, and he says, now, fellas, no one knows when this is going to happen. But, Pastor, wait a minute. Aren't there dates in the Bible? Yeah, there's dates in the Bible. Now, when you read the Bible, you will find that whenever a date is given, it is always given to the Jew. Always. No dates are ever given to the church. That's why a date setter is so messed up. That what these people are doing is they're trying to go through the Bible to find some magic number or some kind of formula or some kind of dates, and they want to take all these generations and they want to take all these days and they want to try to nail down somewhere where the Lord is coming back. The Bible says nobody knows. Okay? So what happens is they're confused in their dispensationalism. So remember, Jesus is talking to the Jew. And when it comes to the tribulation period and to the nation of Israel going back, as far as even with Moses and the time and the promise of being in Israel when they were in captivity and the freedom, he always gave the nation dates and they could figure it out. Such in the tribulation, he gives them a date. When you see the abomination of desolation get in there, you got 1260 days. But he never gives a date to the church. So signs, he never gives signs to the church. He gives signs to the nation of Israel. Now, I did say now, no, in these last days, these things will come, but he didn't say signs. So the problem with the date setter, and the problem with all these guys with the blood moons, and the problem with all of these things is they're taking what has been given to the nation of Israel, and they're trying to make it applicable in your life. Now, I'll be bold enough, and I'll probably get some flack on this, but I'll say this. They're taking what belongs to the Jew, they're scaring the church, and they're making a fortune. So help me with a verse. The love of money and they're fleecing God's people by the billions. And they're writing all these books, and they don't know what they're doing. And they're telling you, well, you got to read the Bible a certain way, or you got to do this, or we can make this fit, or so on. The only thing the church is to be looking for is the coming of our precious Lord and Savior. We were given a great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel, but the church wants to sit on their blessed assurance and study prophecy. When? We're so captivated with the unknown and the spectacular and the sci-fi approach. When? Jesus said, what? That's not even any of your business. Why don't you go out there and tell somebody how to be saved? That's the church's business. Okay? Now Jesus is talking to the disciples and he says, nobody knows. Now whenever he says nobody knows, when he's talking here about the day and the hour knoweth no man, all right, you need to remember something else. The second coming is broken into two parts. The first time Jesus comes, he comes to the clouds and he calls out the church. And where does the church meet Jesus? We meet him in the what? In the air. The second time, 7 years later, Daniel said 1 week later, he comes and he puts his foot on the Mount of Olives. And when he touches the Mount of Olives, the Mount rents. The Bible says a river comes flowing out of there. That's when he comes to set up the kingdom. That's when he comes with a bow and a sword. And that's when he comes at the Battle of Armageddon. That's when he comes and he puts his foot on the Mount of Olives and he redeems Israel and he makes his way into the city. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. But prior to that, he catches the church away. Now, he's got to catch the church away because who can't be revealed until the church is gone? The Antichrist. So he says now, but of that day and the hour knoweth no man. So now in Matthew 24, he does begin to draw in a little bit the church age. Pastor, he doesn't mention the church there. Yes, he does. He's already mentioned it twice in the book. Look, if you would, at verse 37. But as the days of Noah were. Now, Noah built what, class? The ark. How many years did Noah preach? 120. But of that day now, or verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. No problem with eating and drinking and being married. I think you should eat, you need to drink, and I think you should be married. He's not talking about that. We understand that Noah lived in a perverse generation. Matter of fact, the Bible said that the imagination of man on the earth was evil. When you read about the immorality and wickedness of Noah's day, it was unheard of. But he's not talking so much about that, even though there is some correlation to the day in which we live in. He's talking about the surprise. It's going to rain. What's rain? It's not going to rain. It's going to rain. Why are you building the ark in the middle of the ground? A boat. There's no water out here. It's going to rain. It's not going to rain. I'm telling you, it's going to rain. 120 years I preached to you, God's going to judge the earth. It's going to rain. Where you're a fool, we ain't getting in that ark. I beg you to get in that ark. We're not getting in that ark, fool. Do you feel that? What is that? It was rain. If God says it's going to rain, it's going to rain. My word will not pass away. You read about what happened in the flood. The Bible says that there was a, the Bible scholars tell us that where there was a layer that broke open in the heavens, and there was a layer that broke open from the deep. Water came gushing out of the ground. Water came down. And before they knew what was happening, they were swept away. 8 souls were saved because they got into the ark. And by the way, the ark is a picture of Jesus Christ. And the church is in Christ. And when we will not be swept away with some kind of wrath, we are secure in Him. Now Jesus said, now fellas, nobody knows when this is going to happen. It's going to happen like in the days of Noah. It's just when a surprise and a denial. He goes on to describe what will take place at the rapture. Verse 39, it said, they entered into the ark, and they knew not until the flood came, and what's that word? Took, circle it, underline it, and took them all away. It destroyed them. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then, there's our word then, shall two be in the field. One shall be, what's that word? Before there was a movie taken, God already had it. Two shall be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be what class? And the other left. Okay, that word took in verse number 39 and the word taken in verses 40 and 42 are two different words. You look them up. The word took in verse number 39 carries it with it the idea of taken away for destruction or for evil. And as the rain came down and the flood swept away, that those people on the earth were took unto judgment. They were destroyed. They died and they are in a place called hell. The word taken in verses 40 and 41 is a different word. It's not a word that refers to a taken in judgment. It's a word that means taken alongside of. The word is paralambono. Para is the same Greek word you get paraclete. Who's the paraclete? The Holy Spirit. Lamb, a tender word. Okay. Two are in the field. One's taken, one's left. Go to Matthew chapter number 1. Turn there, please. I beg of you. Matthew chapter 1. Look at verse number 20. But while he, this is Joseph, thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to, what's that word? Take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. That word take in verse number 20 is the same word in verses 40 and 41 of Matthew 24. It's the idea of taking a bride. It's the idea of taking alongside. Now, church, this ought to begin to get your brain to begin to move. And it ought to begin to get you excited because we are waiting for our bridegroom to come and get his bride. And I don't know about you, but I'm part of the bride of Christ. Two are in the field. One's left, one's going to a marriage. What's going to happen when the church gets raptured? We're going to two things. We're going to the Bema seat to receive our reward, and we're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And my friends, what a supper it will be. And as one, we will be married to the Lord Jesus and forever be with Him. Now, Jesus is teaching the Jews all the way through the end of tribulation. This is what's going to happen to your nation. This is what's going to happen to you. You're going through it. Now, you need to understand when you see this, but of that day, nobody knows. But here's what's going to set that off. And it's going to be the rapture of the church. Look, if you would, at verse number 42. What's the very first word of verse number 42? Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your, say his name, Lord doth come. Okay. Who were the apostles to the church? Those disciples that are asking him this question. And Jesus says he's teaching them. Now remember, Jesus knows that in a couple of days he's going to be crucified. He knows that Pentecost is going to happen, and he knows that the church is going to, that mystery time is going to begin on the earth. He knows that Peter, James, and John, and these men are going to be leaders of the church. He understands that. He knows what's going to happen to the nation as a whole, but he's teaching them now, and he's saying, now listen, you don't know what hour the Lord's coming back. Your responsibility is to watch for his coming. And by the way, that's the church's responsibility today, to watch for his coming. So let me ask you a question. Do you think that Jesus is going to come back in the next 30 seconds? Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus, not could, do you believe he is coming back in the next 30 seconds? Look, if you would, at verse number 44. Therefore, be ye also, what's that word? Ready. For in such an hour as you think what? Not the Son of Man cometh. Wow. So Jesus said, it will be when you don't think it's going to happen. So just let me help you a little bit understand. I think the church is looking down the road and we're saying, man, this world's getting wicked. This world is messed up. Our nation is different. The Lord Jesus must be coming back soon. So we've kind of got this present mentality of our lives, but somehow we've got Jesus coming back over here. And Jesus said, I will come when you don't think I'm coming. And I got news for you. I don't think most of the church believes he could come today, or he will come today. And I think the church is going to be so surprised when Jesus comes, because he said, I'll come like a thief in the night. That's why it is your responsibility to believe that he is coming today. So, Pastor, do I go and sell everything I have and give to the poor and sit by the porch and pack my bags? No. But your life is prepared because you believe that Jesus is coming today. That means you're a godly husband today. That means you're praying today. That means that you're right with your brother today. That means that your life is holy today. Not he's going to come as soon as Hillary gets to be president. Yes. Jesus said, I'll come when you don't think I'm coming. And I have a belief that the church doesn't think he's coming today. No way. We would not be so dishonest if we believed he was coming today. Amen. So Jesus said, watch and be ready. Are you ready for the trumpet? Shall we pray?